There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Another hour of live local talk. You know how to get through, right? 343-0106. 343-0106. On the phone, on the text line, and if you're cool like that, you have that FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you at Google Play if you're an Android user or you use that iOS stuff. It's at the App Store. Just look for FM Tango, Alpha, Lima, Kilo, number one, number zero, number six, number five. You'll see our logo. Don't put a point between the six and five. I don't know why I mess this up. You know, we can have video coming from planet Mars, but Lord knows if you go into the app stores and put in the point that it gives it to just 1065, FM Talk 1065. See our logo. That's the app. Download it. It is free. Of course, you can stream the station on there. Also, all our social media feeds are, what do they call it? Curated. I call it gathered up. They're all gathered up in one spot with breaking news on there, plus show schedules, traffic maps, weather information on there. And as well, you have the ability to text or call from the app and also leave us a talkback message. If you use the microphone icon on the front page, you can record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right. Without further ado, the crowd goes wild. And I busted up into this man's office today down at Lanyap in downtown Mobile. It's Dale Leash. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Y'all got a sense of style. You know, your offices are, like, stylish compared to the opulent Bigler Broadcasting facility here I work in. It's nice.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, y'all got that big window in front, though.
That's right, the aquarium.
Yeah. I like that. I'm always a big fan of you know, the fishbowl look.
Yes, it is, and you should see some of the looks we get through the glass when people come in here and... They're in here for one of the umpteen other offices in this building, and they, you know, banging on the window asking for information where the second floor is, you know, something like that.
Right. While you're on the air, mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Stuff doesn't get old.
Not at all. You know what also doesn't get old? Here's my segue. You'll love this. Is you and I talking about the Mobile Civic Center Arena? it's the hit that keeps coming, right?
Yeah. I'd love to stop talking about it, but I think probably I'm going to be talking about it until I'm dead.
Yes, and hopefully that'll be later than sooner. But the update here, like, okay, you and I, people can go back and listen to all the podcasts of Dale and I talking about this over many, many years. Right, I think the last time we talked about it, we were waiting for this, what was it, like a 60% design for them to make a further decision? Where are we? What's going on with this?
We're right there, brother. We're right there. The city is the contractor doing the work for the 60% is at 60% design on the facility, on the new arena, and it looks to be that it's going to be on budget and on schedule so far. So it all things point to it still being a go, and so that is the update. I don't have any public information yet on what 60% design looks like or anything like that. Like, the city is making, like, extra sure that the numbers work out, so they haven't released anything yet. But we're right at the 60% design phase. So what will happen next is they will, now that the demolition has been approved by the Architectural Review Board, they will go and send out bids for demolition companies. They've got, I think they said... They've got several. It might be 10. It might be 7. I don't remember. They've got several qualified bidders that they're going to send the bids out to and wait on the return of the bids. The bids come back first part of July, And so they want to get it approved by the council July 30th and start the demolition process the first week of August.
Okay, so 60, and to go back, we've talked about it, but to revisit the 60% design in coming in at budget makes them feel like they're going to go ahead with it, because the idea is don't demolish what's there before you know you're going forward. Is that kind of, I mean, just trying to put it in regular people language?
Correct. They're not going to get to a situation where they've demolished the old structure and won't continue with the new one. It's going to be, we're going to make doubly sure that we can do this before we tear down the old one. But it does appear as if everything is good to go, you know, barring any last minute setbacks or increases in price.
Yeah. And speaking of that, so I'm looking at text here. What is that price? What on budget for how much?
Not to exceed $300 million for the entire arena. That is the not to exceed price. So they're pretty confident that even with, you know, cost overruns, things like that, that they can hit $300 million. So that's where we're at.
And then the other question, I actually saw something on Facebook, I think a second ago, somebody saying about Mardi Gras and an update. Are we still on for the – when's it going to be – when will we not be Mardi Gras-ing there, and when will we be by their projection right now?
Their projections are the 2025, 2026, no Mardi Gras balls there, because there will be no parking there either. Well, no parking there for 2025 Mardi Gras, because they'll just be completing the deck, the new parking deck. And then 2026, they'll be building the new arena, and so there'll be no parking, but I think the deck will probably be open. And so 2027, they will, I think they're shooting for January, February of 2027 to be open just in time for the first Mardi Gras Bowls of that year.
Okay.
So 2027 Mardi Gras, we're good to go, I think.
It will be interesting, too, to see in the intermediate period of time, will there be people find venues that work better for them, you know, and maybe lessen the strain on the new building? Because in 2 years, people may go, well, we had to do this to have our ball, and we like this okay.
I really think that once this new arena opens, everybody's going to want to use it. So it's going to be, from what I understand, it's going to be very nice. And it's going to be designed, you know, with Mardi Gras in mind as well. So I think once it's open, people are going to want to use it. So, yeah, whatever things they find. But you've seen Mardi Gras groups have already made contingency plans. I mean, you've got some houses that people have fixed up, the groups have fixed up to kind of, you know, corral all their people and stuff like that. So what you might see is maybe probably smaller balls the next 2 years, and then you know, in 2027 we juice them back up, and I did that on purpose.
Just joining us, talking to the funny man Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And this also is a story that's been discussed over time, not with the frequency of the Civic Center or anything, but I saw you put an update over on the website where we'll talk about how people get subscribed, because y'all are a daily online newspaper for sure. City cuts the ribbon on newest segment of the Mobile Greenway Trail. Dude, I remember when this all was rolled out and all the pretty maps and all that, and I think it's actually a good thing. I like this idea of, you know, being able to not get in a motor vehicle and being able, you know, transit through Mobile. I guess I thought it was all going to be done back then, but we're still opening sections of it.
Yeah, it's going to be 1.6 miles, basically 0.6 miles at a time. We're doing it right. So I know that is frustrating for people who want to see this happen. But I mean, you know, this is an administration that hasn't borrowed money for anything yet. They will for this arena, obviously, but they haven't to this point. And so they're very, you know, they pride themselves on that. So they kind of, it's a wait and see approach, like wait until we have funding and then we go ahead and do another segment. So they're doing it like half mile segments at a time. It is very, very nice. And this new segment's going to look even nicer. They've put asphalt down with concrete barriers. It's supposed to be easier to maintain and easier on people's feet and legs. I mean, it's not as easy, you know, as the ground would be. We're made to walk on ground, not asphalt or concrete.
Right.
But it's easier to walk on than concrete. So solar panel lights, so they've gotten that aspect completely off the grid. So I don't know how much I don't know how much Alabama Power is paying them for that.
That's
luxury.
What I was about to say. It's funny. Our minds work the same way. Did Alabama Power find out about that? And are they going to charge them that whatever the $35 a month holding fee for electricity they don't provide?
I think everybody has to pay that regardless. So I'm not sure. But yeah, the city's partially off the grid now. So there's that. It's a really nice segment. And like when it's completed, it's going to be 18 miles of trails from the Bay to Tricentennial Park to the University of South Alabama to Martin Luther King Boulevard.
You can go from the way I remember this. You can go from the municipal park, basically, right, and end up
right down now. The Japanese Gardens. They're going to complete that part next. Yeah, when it's all said and done, you'll be able to go from municipal on the actual Greenway Trail. You'll be able to go from the Japanese Gardens at Municipal Park all the way to the Martin Luther King Boulevard. But the entire segment of trails, I think, goes all the way to South Alabama. It goes even further.
This is it's cool. I like that idea. And while we're talking about these things, even though you hadn't written about it, I think y'all did a couple issues ago. And it was interesting. Earlier this week, I had Mobile County Commissioner Randall Dewitt in, and we were talking about just projects they had in the county, you know, for parks and those kind of things going on, how many of them, which made me start thinking about the city of Mobile. Where are we on the Bayfront Park? Do you have an update on that?
I mean, the update is that they've designed phase one of the park, which would be, you know, picnic areas. Phase one of a park is always, and I'll get to why that's funny to me anyway, but the first phase of the park, the design is complete. They're just waiting on money to make it happen. So you're looking at, you know, picnic areas, a playground, a disc golf course, all this sort of thing. But once it's open to the public, and I think it is open intermittently now, like you can go there and just hang out in the field if you want. You know, all the stuff for the park is kind of there. It's just not built out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a park, as in that it is an empty piece of land.
Where you can go, yes.
Where you can go. I don't know if it's open all the time. I think it's open on certain occasions. So, but phase one of the build-out is the design is complete, and there's going to be three phases. They're just waiting on, like with everything else, just waiting on money to open up for it.
Well, you're talking about how the Stimson administration, the city, has not borrowed, you know, money, and it's really been a big difference here, paying stuff down and being able to keep that good credit rating. But they've been real good at getting grants, right, that I've watched here from, you know, they have like a team there that works on getting grants. Would this thing qualify? I mean, looking for money, is this like they're waiting for grant money?
Yeah, they are working on grants, and they've been successful to a certain extent on some grants. It's not, you know, it's a slow process. It's not enough right now to kick it off or to open it or to start on the first phase. But yes, they have gotten grants. They've gotten small grants here or there, and they're working on that pretty much every day. They're working on grants for everything in the city, but obviously Berkeley by the Bay is a special project.
Yeah, I guess by the Bay is the right term, right? Because every time I say Bayfront Park, then people say, well, that's in the Eastern Shore. But, I mean, this one is also called Bayfront Park, isn't it?
I think it's Berkeley by the Bay, I think is what they're going to call it. I don't know what the official name is, but that is what the project's name is. If you want to call it Mobile Bayfront Park,
you know what? That's right. Because Bayfront Park is, I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong term. Because Bayfront Park's the one down there at Alabama Port. So that's right. So Berkeley by the Bay is what I'm talking about. Y'all, thank you for that correction. Now, remind folks about the new issue of Lanyap out on the streets now. Cover story, what are y'all doing?
Cover story is on Morrison's. I almost forgot, but it's on Morrison's. Kyle Hamrick wrote a story about Mobile's Morrison's is the only one left in the world. It is currently owned by Piccadilly, and it is if it's not the highest grossing store in Piccadilly's chain, it is up there in the top five for sure. It is doing the business, Sean, and it is the only one still open. And we have a really great story about a couple that met working at a Morrison's and came back to the one in Mobile for their anniversary 40 some years later, I think. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it is a beautiful story. The crew all went down to Morrison's to have lunch there one day while we took the cover photos. So check it out. We really like it, and we love the Facebook comments are all people's memories about Morrison's. I haven't been there since I was a kid, but I heard some pretty good reviews from the staff here. So
yeah, same thing for me. As a kid,
I had a fun time.
I was always mom and dad. I'd be thinking about like twice a year that they actually let me go out with them somewhere. And I was always thinking we'd go somewhere, you know, really exciting. And then they go, now we're going to Morrison's. I'm like, oh, come on.
Us too. But it's, you know, we had a really fun time writing that. I know Kyle did. It's right up his alley and the kind of stories he likes to write. So that is what the cover story is on this week. And so pick it up at, look at it, lanyetmobile.com. Daily breaking news stories every single day. Digital copy of the paper. If you want the paper, if you want to feel it in your hands, just check out the purple boxes and news racks all over town. We'd love the support.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate it, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right,
see you later.
There goes Dale Leach from Lanyap. LaneyapMobile.com. Morrison's, yes. Oh, yes. I thought the food was good. Mom and Dad, I just always wanted to go, like, can we go to Pizza Hut or something? No, we're going to Morrison's, Sean. Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 125, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Look at it, some really cool pictures. So my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, where I got my e-bike from, he and I were talking about the panniers, different accessories on these e-bikes, because I got this idea of like taking a little trip where I camp out of the bike, my e-bike. And he's sending me pictures of like a couple bikes here that have like, dude, you could carry and the kitchen sink on these things with the panniers and the baskets and all that stuff. Really cool stuff. Hey, they got all the accessories for your bikes, your e-bikes at Adventure Earth Bicycles. They've got a selection now of 75 e-bikes at any given time for you to check out, and 400 of the non-e-bikes at any point as well. But it is, it's been a big change. Like I said, 2 years ago, I got into riding bicycles again here in my 50s because of that e-bike, and I have big plans for it for, like, you know, adventure. And I use it in the woods and use it to hunt some, but I really kind of use it more for exercise than anything. And I've got an off-road one, and I ride on the dirt roads with it, and it's, you can use an e-bike completely under electric power. Like, I could just run electric power. But the cool thing about it for exercise is if you put it in, mine has something called an eco mode, where it just kicks in, like you're going up a hill, you're in soft sand, something like that. Keeps it fun when you're riding. Therefore, you look forward to coming home. And well, I don't do that till 6:30 now, but you wait a little later in the day and go riding on the bike and get good exercise. So check them out at Adventure Earth Bicycles, whether you're getting accessories or your e-bike or your non-e-bike. There are waiting for you at the corner of Airport and Little Flower, right there across from Ruth's Chris. And they're online at adventure-earth.com. It is Adventure Earth Bicycles. Everything inside to get you outside. All right, we get to phones here. We can get to the text line. A whole bunch of stuff going on. We are deep in the text here. Let's see. We are going to get to the story about the banner being flown down the beach in Orange Beach that has people outraged. Tim and Foley said, I remember telling my kids the Sammy's plane flying over was a local barbecue place, a.k.a. Sonny's. Nice work, Tim. I've done that before. The verbal jujitsu when the kids ask you about something that's not for kid ears. Good. So you tell them, it's a barbecue place. Old Sammy's Barbecue. Let's see here. Gary says, for your information, I can't wait to watch the debate. And then Saturday Night Live, laugh out loud, Trump 2024. That's from Gary. Tusker says, Cameron's out of touch. Trump is taking one for the team for 8+ years now. Let's see here. This is interesting. This texture says, Sean, Walgreens reaping what they sow. During COVID, they pretended not to understand my doctor's clearly written prescription for ivermectin. That's really interesting, unnamed texture. Did they, I'm not giving you a legal opinion, but there's something to that, right? Did they end up giving you the prescription or not? Did they just say, I can't read this, you're not going to get this? I had not heard of that. Please give me some more details there on the text line. And I think they're right. There's a story there, right? If you go back and find the people involved with it back then. All right, to the telephones at 343-0106, 343-0106, also on the text line. Let's see. And I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to do it like we did in the old days. Go to line one. Who's this? Because my thing that tells me who this is not working. So who's this?
This is Tim.
Tim.
Foley.
Hey, Tim.
Hey. You were talking a minute ago about Morrison's, and you mentioned Piccadilly, and it made me think about, you know, old times There used to be a Piccadilly's in the mall, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Miller Mall, is that where it was?
I think that's right. I think mom and dad drugged me in there, too.
Yeah, it was like a real dark hole in the wall. I mean, it was like always dark in there. It was like a buffet line, if I remember right.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, it seems generational. Not that there aren't people my age that like cafeteria and all that. And like I said, the food was always great when we went there. But my parents, you know, my late father and my mom, their generation, they dug them a cafeteria. They liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. I was a little kid, too, and it was like one vegetable, one meat, one whatever, one dessert. Okay. And the other thing, the other day I called and talked. You had a topic about the end of the causeway where it turns into the Africatown Bridge, that little stretch.
Yes.
I mentioned to you that as a kid, I remember there being a go-kart track there, and I never got to hear back if anybody else remembers there being a small track there that you could put your car. It was on the opposite of the river, so it would be
on the east side.
Yeah, it was just like a little track there, and people would take their small go-karts. And I was so young, I don't remember if it was like you rented the car or you brought your own car. But
okay,
it was
we're reaching back through the brain cells of everybody. Tim and Foley asked a question. Did you remember the go-kart track there on, I guess it'd be Pinto Island? Let us know. 343-0106. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Let's check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. You've been talking about so much inventory coming in. Has it arrived? You got the new vehicles on the lot?
We did. We got the last ones in this morning. So we probably got another 12 vehicles on the ground in the last 3 days. Everything's going through inspections and making sure it's right, trying to get everything detailed that needs to be detailed. Most everything's already ready to go, other than, you know, it's getting it checked out.
Yeah, and y'all check the vehicles out. This is something we hadn't talked about in a while, but I know being a customer of yours, y'all check those vehicles out on your own, but we're welcome to take them to our own mechanic as well.
Yeah, we do. We've got a third-party company. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but anyway, they do an inspection on every vehicle. We pay them for it if it needs anything, and we take care of whatever it needs at that point. I mean, if it's brakes, tires, oil change, you know, and Carfax and everything nowadays will tell you when the last time the oil's changed. So we try to make sure everything's done for them before they take it.
There it is. Tell folks how to come find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068, or you can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let's get to this. And CB Carl, I know you've been on the edge of your seat since the beginning of the show. The story about the headline here from WKRG says, Banner Plane in Orange Beach pulls ad for OnlyFans account. Mayor and beachgoers furious. Okay, so, you know, the planes that fly over with the signs, right? Yeah. So here's the story. Here, we'll open up with my man Peter Albrecht. I guess this was last night's news. Here's the clip. Let's go to the audio.
Yes, after a banner plane advertising what he says is an adult content website flew over South Baldwin County beaches over the weekend. WKRG News 5's Whitney Leibold has reaction from beachgoers.
This banner flew by advertising an OnlyFans account along Orange Beach.
Keep that somewhere else.
OnlyFans is a subscription-based social media platform for adults featuring a variety of content. Some of it is sexually explicit. And a lot of people had opinions about it, including Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan.
It's sad because the banner is advertising pornography. And who am I to tell an adult whether they should or should not? However, when you're pulling an advertisement for pornography down our beach in front of thousands of children, you're a despicable individual.
We spoke with some beachgoers who saw the banner.
There are little eyes and little ears, and the things with the little ears is they absorb every single thing. So if somebody's flying it over and somebody's looking at it and say, oh, look at this, it's OnlyFans, let's go to it and see what we can find, and they start having conversations about it, those kids, like I said, they're going to absorb everything that's being said. They're going to go home and say, hey, Mom, what's OnlyFans?
I think that anything that you post or put abroad the public should be family friendly.
But others look at this issue differently.
I honestly don't think it's a big deal, and I don't mind. We do have lots of nephews and nieces here, and to be honest, if we saw that, we wouldn't mind because they're young and they don't know what it is.
I think you got to advertise somehow, so it makes sense.
FM
Mayor
Talk.
Kenan says there is nothing the city can do about the situation.
We have absolutely no jurisdiction whatsoever. No say-so.
The mayor wants the city of Orange Beach to remain family-friendly. He thinks banner plane companies should have more rules and regulations as to what they can and cannot advertise. Reporting in Baldwin County, Whitney Leibel, WKRG News 5.
Okay, it's for the children, right? It always is for the children. So there's the thing. So the mayor says he has, and honestly, does not have, you know, you have jurisdiction, but I don't think you have air jurisdiction. There is a question about how high up in the air your jurisdiction goes. There's actually, it's a convoluted story about corner hopping, something that happens out west where there's Bureau of Land Management parcels interspersed with private property. But, that's all but he does not have jurisdiction in the skies above the beach there at Orange Beach. The sign is blurred out in the story, but it's not because it is, the sign is not dirty. It says they let you see the OnlyFans and then they don't give the URL, I guess, because they don't want to give unearned media, free advertising, I guess, to this entertainer, a content producer on OnlyFans. But Dalton and I did, you know, what we're here to do, and that is digging in for the rest of the story. So we dug in, we found the person, and did our research. But the sign didn't, like, the sign didn't have a curse word on it, didn't have anything that was, it was just the fact that it was an OnlyFans page. But people were upset about it. Where do you go here? I mean, if the FAA, what are the limits? Because you could have had, a billboard would have that. Right? I don't know. I mean, they probably have more to say about that because the billboard's actually physically in the jurisdiction. But this idea, you know, when somebody's wearing a t-shirt walking down the beach with OnlyFans and a URL, you know, URL for a specific entertainer. I don't know. It's a, listen, is it a good thing? No, I've gone through this before. We've talked about it, like being in stores, in the gas stations that sell everything behind the plexiglass there, and having to explain to my son or artfully dodge what that thing is. I don't want to have to go through that. Do they have the right to have that stuff displayed? Probably do. But there's some hubbub here about this. And some of y'all, I guess, had seen the banner. I don't know. No word if it continues to fly on Orange Beach. I know many of y'all will probably keep an eye on it for me. Let me know if the plane pulling the banner for the OnlyFans content producer flies up and down the beach. You got to think, the next 7 days, we are a week out from Independence Day. The next 10 days, really, really packed on the beach. Big audience there. Time to, you know, I mean, people are on vacation. You know, it might get crazy. They might hit up the OnlyFans. I don't know. I don't know what people do at the beach. It might be, you know, if the flag, the danger is if the flags are flying, which I don't know they are. I don't know what the rip current situation is at the beach. But if the rip current was bad and people couldn't be in the water, they might be tempted to be on OnlyFans. So let's pray that the conditions are good and people can get in the water and like boogie board or whatever so they're not scrolling through their phones on OnlyFans while they're out on the beach in Orange Beach. So your comments on that story as well at 343-0106. So CB Carl and others, there you go. That's the story of the OnlyFans banner at Orange Beach and outrage people. And then, you know, even though the headline, that's why headlines are important, because the headline says the mayor and beachgoers are furious. That is true. It's not inaccurate. But then you heard from some beachgoers that weren't furious about it. So are you furious or not? All right, the text line here, I'm going to go back in time some. We're catching up. Ken says, what is crazy? Okay, this is what I was talking about in hour number one. What is crazy, before there was a First Amendment, before the First Amendment existed, John Adams pushed back against the Stamp Act in 1765, which was a tax on all paper, newspaper, deeds, etc. Yeah, we remember that from school. This was a tax on free speech in the beginning of the revolution. Adams mocked the act by anonymously publishing and using the newspaper to push back on the government. Adams loved free speech against the government at 30 years old until he became the government at 61 years old. He became the only early president who didn't get reelected because of the Sedition Act, which limited speech against government. What Ken's talking about, and you can see I put it up on our Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5, an op-ed from Jonathan Turley. That kid's pretty smart because he agrees with me on the importance of the case that the Supreme Court kicked out on not having standing for attorneys general in Missouri and Louisiana, but really not judging the substance of the censorship coming from the Biden administration on social media platforms that had people on there daring posting something about COVID that wasn't the government narrative. Let's see. Haywood said, in your opening with Dale, you mentioned the fishbowl, or it's the aquarium or fishbowl effect here of the studios. He said, do you make eye contact with those in the lobby or ignore? Does eye contact invite interaction? It does. I generally make eye contact to survey threats. And then once my valuation of the lack of threat or wherever I am on that, Haywood, then I go back to looking at the 26 tabs I have here in the studio open of stories. But yes, I do make eye contact with them. I know, and Commissioner DeWitt, who was on with us earlier, listen, I make mistakes plenty of times. He said, my Bayfront Park, the one we talked about the other day, has been named that longer than Daphne's Park. As a matter of fact, it's been named that for 6 years before the city of Daphne was incorporated. Yeah, Bayfront Park in Mobile County was 1920s, I think, right? Or somewhere in there. So it's been that way. I was got those all mixed up as I was talking about Brooklyn by the Bay for the city of Mobile. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. That's line one. I think it is a press right button. Is this Bill?
Yes, sir.
Bill in Pascagoula. What's up, man?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I flip between ABC Biloxi and KRG Mobile. I live in Pascagoula, keep up with weather and everything like them both.
Right.
And I got in on the tail end of that story on KRG one day, and to be up front and honest, y'all giving OnlyFans more publicity than you probably think you are, because I thought it was probably just advertising some concert at the wharf or something, you know.
Right.
I'm just showing my ignorance. That's how dumb I am.
Well, I know that you're dumb, but because if you have no reason to know what that thing is, that's you know, I mean, that's not, yeah, it might be ignorant. I tell people there's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. That doesn't make you dumb, you know.
But I'm just saying, you know, y'all are actually helping them out with this show this afternoon.
Well, I think her show's every day on OnlyFans. I think it's a show where she shows stuff. You see what I'm talking about? I think she has a page where you go see her show stuff.
Yeah, well, like I said, this was actually on TV. You know, I've seen the plane flying with OnlyFans wrote behind it. Like I
said,
I thought it was a concert or something.
You know? There you go. Fair enough, Bill. But yeah, it's a content site. It's like, do I want to explain that to my children? No. Do I think it's the out of all the things to be? I don't know. Maybe I should be clutching my pearls more than I am. Let's go to Jarhead, my man. Jarhead in Saraland. What's up? Hey, Jarhead.
You know, you were talking about the Mardi Gras organizations. It was announced last night that the Crew of Columbus is actually doing their ball at the grounds this year, 2 weeks before their parade. But as far as my organization, the Stripers, we are going to be at the convention center this year, and hopefully it's going to be just like normal for us.
You wonder about that, Jarhead, that in the – and I think it will. I think they get a new building built in 2027, and folks will clamor to be in the new building. I think that's right. But there will be some groups that find a new home, I think, you know, in the meantime, and just say, yeah, you know, we're good here. We're not going to go back, you know, to doing it at downtown or wherever.
Well, real quick, I know we're coming up on a break. You know, the Car Doctor show on 610-24, if for some reason it didn't come up on the podcast – but and so now nobody knows that I have coupons for you to give out at your next promo
for blinker fluid.
And so you're saying the podcast of Tom and Ray didn't make it to the Giant podcast platform?
For some reason, it didn't make it, but I wanted everybody to know. You know, I got you some coupons to give you to the next time. You get
so
out.
So I can hand out, hang out, yeah, blinker fluid. Well, good. We will do that, and just get those by the station, or just email them to me, and I can print the blinker fluid coupons for you, Jarhead. Thank you, brother.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, there goes Jarhead. Yeah, so we'll have to go back. What I'm doing right now, y'all, while we're just talking about this, I think I'm making a point known here that there might need to be some an audit of what was loaded up on the 10th of June for the podcast for the car clinic with my man Tom and Ray. So I bet you'll see it pop up soon. Put it that way. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, let's get right to it. I want to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale first up here. Because, Blaine, I started thinking about this time of year. Two things going on. You know, if you're thinking about getting to the woods, doing work up there, it's probably time to get that equipment now. It'll be August, September before you know it. And y'all have got some deals here. 0% financing on all the equipment, but you said you had a deal on compact tractors, and give the folks the deal. Here, give them the deal. How does it work? You said you get a compact, Blaine, get a compact tractor and two implements, and then what happens?
That's right. So you get one of our L series compact tractors with at least two implements, and you get a 7x20 trailer for free to form it into that package. All that qualifies for that 0% financing with Kubota right now.
Okay. And then the other flip side I thought about it is a lot of people have time off working with the holiday next week with Independence Day. It's probably project time for folks. You talk about your rental equipment fleet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me, I mean, give me some ideas, some highlights of equipment you'll have that people need.
A little bit of everything, Sean. We got tractors with front end loaders with all the different attachments to go along with that tractor. We got skid steers, excavators, same thing, plenty of different attachments, whether it be cutter heads or grapples, augers. Then we got a lot of smaller stuff, even some small handheld stuff, all the way down to a chainsaw, pole saw. We got man lifts, scissor lifts, dump trailers, a little bit of everything. So if you're looking at knocking a few projects around the holiday with your time off, you know, we got a little bit of everything for everybody. It's not just the contractors or the heavy commercial guys. It's the everyday homeowners as well.
You got that right. Yeah. If y'all hadn't seen the equipment, go check out what's available. Tell people how to find you.
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale, you can give us a call at 251-947-4171. We have a website, parrishtractor.com, or you can come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or on Saturdays from 8 till noon.
Blaine, I appreciate it. We'll check back soon.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
All right. There he goes, Blaine Price with Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. To the text line here, let's get as many of these as possible done. We talked about the Morrison story from Landyap has a lot of text. Ed said, Sean, they were called Blue Hair Cafes back in my day. This texture says, we used to get what was called the satellite plate at Piccadilly. I believe it was meat and two vegetables. And me and my cousin Chuck, who is family around here, used to go. So we got kinfolk texting in on this. So Celeste in the back, we've got a story about the satellite plate. Brian. Brian says, Piccadilly had a chime that would sound occasionally. My dad used to put his hand over his heart and said the chime meant someone died at a Piccadilly restaurant somewhere in the world. When I was about 5, I believed him completely. I would put my hand over my heart in solidarity. Brian, that's good stuff. And good on your dad for being funny. It's good stuff. C.B. Carl said, I worked at a Piccadilly in high school. Never forget when I was promoted to being the guy walking the line with a thermometer. My first job with authority. There you go. Let's see. I don't know what somebody says here. Mardi Gras balls. Why? Can no idea how to dream. I have to come back on that one. You have to give me some more on that text. Sometimes voice to text ain't great. Jesse in Irvington says, Tony Kennan's always says he wants more rules and regulations. He just doesn't want them to apply to him. Aaron G. is making sense here. Half-naked young ladies and some men on the beach. No need for OnlyFans, but none of it's great. Yeah, they get their OnlyFans going there on the beach, right? Dirt Digger says, Sean, when me and you were young, what about the machines in the men's restroom? I asked my father what's in that in the machine. He said it was fish and tackle, so I wanted them, some of them glow worms, but it didn't come with a hook. What about that? I think the word that was used for me, Dirt Digger, because I asked the same kind of questions, because Lord knows, my parents, I ask the questions all the time. I think they just use the word novelties. Son, those are novelties in that. I said, well, can I get some, you put the quarters in there and turn it and get, no, you don't need those. You don't need those novelties. Let's see, Tony and Sim says, I wonder if OnlyFans would host someone doing hunting, fishing, coin collecting, or non-explicit presentation. I think, no joke here, I'm not an expert. I don't know the OnlyFans thing. Now, that sounds like a feign, but it's true. But I think there's stuff on there that's not, yeah. So I think there's some other stuff on there. All right, and Jimmy says, Mama used to always say my eyes were bigger than my stomach when we'd go to that Piccadilly. So there you go. Morrison's now in Lanyap. Go read the story, and we'll see you tomorrow.